I'm going to read you three passages of scripture, starting in Luke's Gospel. I'm starting in Matthew's Gospel, and it's page in my Bible. It's Matthew chapter 12, and it's page 1161. Matthew chapter 12, page 1161. If you can't find it, don't worry, I'm going to read it. And it says this in verse 9, and it's talking about Jesus. And going away from thence, he came into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man having his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? But he said to them, What man shall there be of you who has one sheep? And if this fall into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and raise it up? How much better then is a man than a sheep? So then is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath. Then he says to the man, Stretch out thy hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored, sound as the other. But the Pharisees, having gone out, took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. And Jesus, knowing it, withdrew thence, and great crowds followed him, and he healed them all. And I want to read to you from Isaiah in the Old Testament on page 893. Just one verse this time. Isaiah chapter 53, page 893, verse 6. Isaiah 53. Page 893, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And one more scripture back in the New Testament, and it is in Luke's Gospel this time. It's Luke chapter 15, and it's page 1248. Page 1248. Luke 15. Page 1248. And it's Jesus again speaking. And in verse 3, and he spoke to them, Jesus spoke to them, this parable saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his shoulders rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, and saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you, that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner. I started reading to you from Matthew's Gospel. That story where Jesus came into the synagogue, a bit like coming into a church today. And in that synagogue where he came in 2,000 years ago, there was a man, it says, with a withered hand. I'm not entirely sure what a withered hand is, but I assume he couldn't use it. It was maybe scrunched up like that or something. A withered hand, so he couldn't use it. Nothing particularly unusual about that. If Jesus came in here tonight, he would find people that perhaps weren't feeling very well. There's someone in here whose leg's not been too good. My son Andrew over there has got a black eye. I've got two cracked ribs and six stitches in my mouth. Nothing unusual about people not feeling too good. Maybe you're not feeling too good. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into this synagogue, there was this man there. His hand didn't work. And Jesus saw it. And the people in that synagogue, they had a rule that said you can't make people better on the Sabbath, on their special religious day. Don't know where they got it from. It's not in the Bible. But they watched Jesus to see if he was going to break their rule. And they said to Jesus, Is it lawful? Is it okay by the law if someone heals on the Sabbath? And Jesus told them this story about sheep. He said, What if one of you's got a sheep? One sheep. And on this special religious day of the Sabbath, he said, What if that sheep falls into a pit? Falls down into some great hole in the ground? He said, I know what you'd do. You people who won't let me heal this man. If it was your sheep, he said, you'd go and pull it out. You'd make sure it was well and okay. If it was the one sheep that you've got, you'd pull it out of that hole. And they knew that was true, they would. So Jesus said to them, he said, well, how much better is a man than a sheep? How much more important is a boy or a girl, or a man or a woman, than a sheep? And it's obviously true, isn't it? Even to you and me now. A person is more important than an animal, and more important than a sheep. Far more important. So Jesus looked at them and he said to the man, You stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and as he stretched it out, it became sound, became healed, became just like the other hand that was perfectly all right. Just as he stretched out, all he did was he heard Jesus say, do something. And he did it. And as he did it, it was healed. And it says that it really annoyed the rulers of that synagogue, the Pharisees. And as they went out, they got together and they talked about how they might destroy Jesus because he annoyed them so much. They might destroy them. But Jesus, knowing it, he went away. And great crowds followed him, it says. And he healed them all. He healed them all. Do you know who the scripture says Jesus is? It says that he's God's son. God himself. Jesus is his son. That's who he is. He's one with God. You and I are just men and women. We live our lives and we die. But there's something inside us, according to scripture, that lives on beyond death. And that's important for you to know. Scripture says God has put eternity in your heart. Makes you different to an animal, different to a sheep. But Jesus was a man like you and me, but different again. He was perfectly a man, but he was also God's own son. God himself came down, and for a while he lived amongst us. And his name, according to the scriptures, was Jesus. Now you think about it, right? God could have proved that who Jesus was in lots of different ways. Lots of different ways. He could have spoken from heaven in a great loud voice. He could have made lightning across the sky when Jesus came. He could have made every person in the world somehow see Jesus at the same time. And he could have made him look fantastically kingly. So you'd know who he was. And you know, according to the scripture, one day he's going to do all those things. But 2,000 years ago, so that you and I would know who Jesus was, it was about the way he behaved and the things that he did and the things that he said. And perhaps more than anything else, it was this thing that I've just read to you that tells you who Jesus was. Because he did the thing that people would love to be able to do today and cannot do. Every single person that came to him, it says. Every single person that was ill, that came to him. He healed them all. He healed them all. The man with the withered hand. Stitches in the mouth would be no problem to him. Cracked ribs would be no problem. Black eye would be no problem. He could heal anything. And the scripture tells you that he did. Even to healing people that were past the doctors of this world, who were dead. Three times the scripture tells you Jesus spoke and called a person who was dead and they came to life and lived. That is to tell you and I, just as much as the people then, who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. Don't make any mistake about it. It's been proved over and over again. He's God's Son. Now he talked to those people about sheep. I read you this scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, because he also talked about sheep. And he wrote the words that he wrote in Isaiah about 800 years before Jesus was born. So about 2,800 years ago from now, Isaiah was writing these words. And I've only read you a tiny little bit of a very famous chapter of scripture. It's called a prophecy. Isaiah was writing hundreds of years before something happened. And the something that happened was Jesus. He didn't use his name, but Isaiah described what would happen when Jesus came. And we can look back now, all these years later, and see that Isaiah was right, and that what he wrote was true. But I've only read you one little verse. Isaiah's talking about people like you and me. Exactly like you and me. And he says this. He says, we're all like sheep who've gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. What does that mean? You don't need to know a lot about sheep to understand that. I don't know a lot about sheep. But I can see that sheep do their own thing. So, week before last, 2 weeks ago perhaps it was, I was out for a walk in the country near our house. And I went down through some woods, and I came to a stile, and there were two fields in front of me. The stile went over into an empty field, but beside it was a field full of sheep, about 200 sheep. So all I did was I sat on the stile with my dog beside me, and I looked at the sheep and the sheep that were nearest me. I didn't say anything. The dog didn't bark. The sheep that were nearest me looked at me for a while, and then they walked away from me. And then the sheep behind them looked at them and thought, oh, they're walking away, we'll walk too. And eventually they all walked down to the far end of the field, where the gate was open. And 200 sheep, one by one, gradually walked out the gate at the bottom of the field. And I watched them, I didn't move. They walked through the next field and out into the field beyond. And I thought, why do they do that? I'm not going to bite them or chase them. But the first sheep turned and it walked away. And then the next sheep thought, oh, I'd better do that too. And the next one thought, oh, I'd better do that too. Until 200 sheep were walking off through the fields away. And we behaved like that. We see somebody else doing something and we think, I'd better do that too. All of us do that. I wonder if that's what Isaiah meant when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Because if we see lots of people doing something, we think it must be right. And we do it too. But you tonight, you need to do the right thing for yourself. You don't want to just follow other people. You need to think up here and in your heart about what the gospel says about Jesus. And you need to decide for yourself whether it's right. It doesn't matter what the sheep next to you thinks. It matters what you think. That's the point of a gospel preaching. Not so you can sit in a hall with lots of people and feel comfortable. It's so that you can think for yourself. Not what everybody else or your friends think. Think for yourself. Who is this person, Jesus? Is this true, what the Bible says about him? Do I need to do something about it? Or there's another thing Isaiah might have meant, which I sometimes wonder. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You know, sometimes you see a sheep just wandering away from the rest of the flock. And it gets further. Maybe it sees a bit of grass over there that looks tastier than the bit here. So it goes and eats that one. And then a bit of grass over there that looks tastier. So it goes over there. And eventually it wanders away from everybody else. And sometimes I wonder if that's what Isaiah meant. That we're like sheep who go astray. You know, we go and just do something on our own where nobody can see. And then we do something else on our own where nobody can see. Maybe we look at stuff on the internet that we don't want anybody to know that we're looking at. Maybe we do things that we're ashamed of. We're on our own so nobody can see. Maybe you think stuff in your head that you never want anybody to know because you're ashamed of it. You're like a sheep that's gone astray away from everybody else. You're doing your own thing. You're choosing what you want to do. You're doing what Isaiah said all those years ago. 2,800 years ago. He said, we're all like sheep, all of us. We've gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. But we're all like that. You're not alone in being like that. We're all like that. But God will not let us go. You ever realise that? God will not let you go. Because that's the second part of this verse. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've sinned. We've done bad things. We've thought bad things. We've done things which keep us from God. Even if no one else knows about them. And this scripture says, what has God done about it? He's laid upon Jesus. On Jesus, the iniquity, the sins of us all. That's what he's done. Jesus was crucified, as you know, on a cross. 2,000 years ago. Real wood, real nails, real body, real man hanging in agony from a cross. Son of God, but crucified. And he died there. And a spear went into his side and blood and water flowed and people saw it. Wrote about it in the Bible. So that we might know, God's Son died. Why did he die? Because the Bible says in that sacrifice, he offered himself, we crucified him, And on that cross, while he was crucified, he offered himself to God as a sacrifice for our sin. And Jehovah accepted that offer. And he put upon his son the iniquity of us all. And the scripture is very clear. It explains to you time and time again in different ways that what God put upon him were the sins of every person who will turn to him and ask him for forgiveness and to be their saviour. God put their sins on his son. He put my sins on his son. And what did Jesus do with them? He took them away. He took the suffering that was due for my sins, whatever that was, I don't really understand it. He took that. And he dealt with everything that was between me and God. All the stain, all the bad conscience that I've got, all the things I've done that you don't know about. All of it. All the lies I've told. All the things I've been selfish and proud about. Everything. He's taken it all upon himself. And he's taken it away. It's called the Lamb of God in the Bible. Because he's the sacrifice for our sins. For the sins of everybody that will turn to him and ask for forgiveness. Isaiah said long before he came that we've all turned to our own way, but Jehovah's laid upon him, just on him, not on you or me, not on anyone else, just on him, on Jesus, on his own son, the iniquity of us all. And I read you one more scripture in Luke's gospel, and it's also about sheep. Luke's gospel chapter 15 is a story that Jesus told. What man of you has 100 sheep? Not one sheep this time in this story. 100 sheep. Jesus says, what man of you, if you've got 100 sheep and you've lost one of them, he says, which one of you wouldn't go looking for that sheep? Now, I'm not a shepherd. I've never in my life owned a sheep. Maybe one or two of you have, actually. I don't know. I don't really understand about going looking for sheep. But as you get older, things happen. As I've got older, I've lost my hair. Now, if you can notice. If some of you were here, actually, probably 25 years ago when I was preaching here, there was a lot more hair up there. One of the things you do when you lose your hair is you become aware when it's raining, or when it's cold, or when it's hot. So you buy hats. And on the top of my wardrobe at home, there's about 12 hats. No, some are for when it's raining, and some are for when it's sunny, and just some are baseball caps, and some are caps, and some just hats. Now, we went for a walk somewhere, Wiltshire, Somerset, down that way on the border, about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago now. We went for a walk, and we probably walked in the country for about, I don't know, about 3 hours. And when I left the car, I was wearing a hat. And when we came back down off the hills and got back to the car, no hat. I dropped it. Now, part of me thought, okay, lost my hat. Somewhere in the sort of 2-3 hours walk back there is my hat. There's another 15, 12, whatever hats on the wardrobe at home. That's fine, just leave it. But a bigger part of me thought, no, that's my hat. That's actually my favourite hat. And I want it back. And none of those other hats on the wardrobe will do instead. I want that hat back. So I turned round on my own and I walked back up onto the hill with my dog. And we walked and walked until we found that hat. And about an hour later, I was bringing it back down to meet my family. And I was thinking about this scripture that I've just read to you. Because I can understand how you can have something so precious. For this man, it was a sheep. And for me, it was a hat. You can have something so precious that if you lose it, you're going to go and look and look and look until you find it. And Jesus told this story with a point. Because it's not about sheep. And it's not about hats. It's about you. God has something so precious that he's lost. That he decided to go and look and look and look and look until he finds it. And that's something. It's you. It's you. Do you never realise that? The whole point of the story, of Jesus' true story, Jesus coming down here and being born in Bethlehem and living at around Galilee 2,000 years ago and doing all these wonderful things and dying on a cross and rising again 3 days later. The point of the story is that your God wants you and your God loves you and he will not let you go. And the price that he's prepared to pay to have you back is terrible. He's given his son on a cross. Jesus has offered himself for your sins. God has laid upon him, on his own son, the iniquity of you, so that you can go free. You can be God's son yourself by adoption. God will welcome you in at the point Jesus comes back, or if you die, God will welcome you into heaven because of what his son has done to buy you back. Because God loves you and he wants you. And that's the price he's prepared to have to pay that you might come home. You see what this man did in Jesus' story? He knew what he was talking about. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He says when he found this man, found this sheep, he put it on his shoulders and he brought it back. Back to his home. And there was rejoicing in heaven. It's what God wants more than anything else. Not sheep. Not hats. He wants you. And me. And he wants to bring you home. So what's stopping him? Years ago, Jesus died on a cross. Years ago, he paid the penalty for the sins of everyone that would ever trust him. So what's stopping him bringing you home? You are. You are. Because what the scripture asks you to do is turn to Jesus. Forget everyone else. Forget all the other sheep around you. Forget your friends. What the scripture wants you to do is turn inside to Jesus and ask him to forgive you your sins. Oh, you'll find he'll forgive you. And he'll come straight to you. And he'll take you home. Can't really explain it to you in any words, but I've been there. Other people in this room have been there. You'll find no peace with God until you turn to Jesus and ask him to be your saviour and forgive your sins. Oh, and then you'll find he's alive. That he actually rose from the dead. 2,000 years ago, he rose from the dead and he lives. You'll find it's true. That when you pray to him, he hears you. And he's alive. And it's why we preach. So that you might understand what he's done. And that he wants you back.